have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. It is the Lenten season, the time of year when many of us make sacrifices to give honor to God for the ultimate sacrifice that was made for us. The word sacrifice means that we give up something that we would rather not, but we do it anyway for some greater good. What are you willing to sacrifice this Lenten season? Many will fast by giving up meat, sweets, or something else that they believe they tend to do in excess. Why not consider making a financial sacrifice? Emphasis on giving to churches and charitable organizations is usually most heightened around the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday season. However, remember that there are so many that are less fortunate than ourselves. Most charitable organizations financially struggle to support the needs of the many worthy causes, both locally and around the world. So why not sacrifice perhaps monies that you budgeted for entertainment this month and give it to a friend in need, a church, or the charitable organization of your choice? You may also choose to donate some of your time to help those in need. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul said, "I show you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Giving of ourselves, our time, talents, and our money is a great way to change the lives of others and for us to enrich our own lives by honoring God through our giving. Although it often seems as though I do not have enough time in the day to allocate towards something else, I have never regretted the time spent helping others, and somehow I actually find that God helps me to become more productive with the remainder of the time, such that I don't miss a beat. The Lenten season is a time to reflect and meditate on the sacrifices of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What better way to honor him than to give to someone in need, just as he gave of himself to save us? This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest D. Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's Gospel News. Yolanda Adams was a school teacher in Houston, Texas during the mid-80s and occasionally did some modeling work. Yolanda Adams grew up listening to jazz and classical music as well as gospel from artists such as James Cleveland and the Edwin Hawkins Singers and R&B vocalists like Stevie Wonder and Nancy Wilson. Yolanda Adams' debut, Just As I Am, appeared in 1988 on Sounds of Gospel. The growth of publicly popular gospel in the mid-90s pushed her into the spotlight. Yolanda Adams toured with Kirk Franklin and the Family, and her 1996 album, Yolanda Live in Washington, was nominated for a Grammy. Songs from the Heart followed in 1998, and a year later, she returned with Mountain High, Valley Low, which topped her live album by winning a Grammy. Then her album, Experience, followed a year later. A singer blessed with a soulful, highly resonant voice, Corinne Hawthorne is best known as a contestant on season 8 of NBC's The Voice. A native of Abbeville, Louisiana, Hawthorne is the daughter of a minister and was first introduced to music while singing in church. During her high school years, Hawthorne sang locally at festivals, nursing homes, and charity events. Then, in 2015, though she was only 16 years old, she was accepted onto the NBC reality vocal competition, The Voice. She released a debut EP the following year. In 2018, she returned with a full-length debut album, Unstoppable, which topped Billboard's top gospel albums and earned Hawthorne a Grammy Award nomination for her song, Won't He Do It? Singer Evie McKinney first found a national audience as a contestant on the TV singing competition, The Four, Battle for Stardom. She won the inaugural season in 2018. Born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee, she started singing as a preschooler and learned gospel music from her father. Evie McKinney was already performing professionally across several genres when she was 20 years old, and she joined the Fox series The Four, entering as a challenger on the fifth of six episodes in the first season. McKinney won a record contract with the label when she was crowned champion in February of 2018. March is Women's History Month. This week, let's remember Marjorie Joyner. She was the inventor of the permanent wave machine. A revolution in the beauty industry occurred during the early 1920s when a group of female African-American inventors developed products and processes with Black women's particular needs in mind. The aim was to help them feel good about their looks and begin to improve their status in the United States and around the world. Marjorie Stewart Joyner was one such woman. A granddaughter of a slave and a white slave owner, she was born on October 24, 1896 in Monterey, Virginia. She moved to Chicago in 1912, and shortly thereafter, she began studying cosmetology. In 1916, she became the first African-American graduate of Chicago's A.B. Moeller Beauty School. That year, at the age of 20, she opened her salon. A few years later, she came up with a groundbreaking device, the permanent wave machine. She envisioned a system that would use several rods hung above a client's head to roll several sections of her hair at once. Then they could be heated up to cook a permanent wave or curl into the hair. She patented the invention in 1928. Joyner also patented a scalp protector to make the procedure more comfortable. Her rights to this and to the permanent waving machine were signed over to Madam C.J. Walker. Joyner's invention was readily adopted by many salons, which were able to help both Black and white clients to straighten or curl their hair. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, E. Dewey Smith, Your Presence is a Gift. 9, Juan Winans and Deborah Winans, Never on My Own. 8, Rudy Currens and Chrisette Michelle, No Greater Love. 7, Kenny Lewis and One Voice featuring Charles Jenkins, He's Been Good. 6, Tasha Cobb Leonard, Gotta Believe. 5, CeCe Winans, Believe For It. 4, The Group Fire, Fix It. 3, Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music with Gyra. 2, Ernest Pugh, Thank You So Much. And our new number one song comes from Dante Bo, Joyful. Well, that's your top 10 songs, your salute to women in history during Women's History Month, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And you can hear my good friend Nina Taylor along with my wonderful wife, Lady Sharon Richard, every Thursday evening at 10 p.m. right here on The Pastor's Corner. We want to say we thank God for each and every one of you coming to join us. Hello to you, and also to you. We bless God for you joining us on this given day. And this is the day that the Lord has made, a day we've chosen to rejoice and to be glad in. I'm just excited for the very fact that God has given us another opportunity and another chance to be with you on this given day. So without further ado, let's find out who's with us today, and we'll get into our topic of discussion in just a few minutes. Leading off always, is my brother from another mother way down there in Augusta, Georgia. I need you to say hello to Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I didn't do it. I wasn't there.
The Lord bless you, sir. Thank God for you. We're grateful to be here. Looking forward to what the Lord is going to say and do tonight.
Amen. We bless God for you. I go all the way back up to the great state of Connecticut. I'm not sure. After a small hiatus, we kind of had to hold him at bay for a few minutes while he recovered, but we believe that he's in a great condition. Had a good conversation with him earlier today. Let me check and see if Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith has made it tonight. Are you here with us, Apostle?
Please don't get involved with this, he said, she said, it ain't nothing but confusion. Well, look out, somebody lying, and that is true. Oh, well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So happy to have you with us tonight. After a minor hiatus and a minor scare for most of us, we're glad to hear your voice on this given night. Well, let's do one other thing. Let's find out. And I'm going to go this route because this individual actually should be first on the list because without her, we would not even so much as have a show. So let me check in and see. And I know she's here because she's on the board. Dr. Kimby Robinson, how are you today?
I'm great. How about you today?
You know what? I bless God. I mean, I'm not 100%, but I am 100%, even if I don't think I'm 100%, if that makes any sense to you at all.
Well, you in my prayer so you can get to to 100%. How about that?
Yeah, we often enjoy listening to your moments with Kimmy Kim on Instagram and on TikTok. So keep them coming, encouraging, always encouraging. Now I got to check and see if my other sister down in the Georgia area has made her way. Let's check and see. Apostle Felicia Flight, are you here with us? Okay, going once. Going twice, sold. Last but by no means least, no means, and I do mean no means least. She comes from the Midwest, also from the great state of Indiana. I'm checking to see if my dear sister, Pastor Anna Henderson, has made it. Are you with us today, my dear sister?
Yes, sir. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad for this opportunity to be with you on tonight.
Amen, amen, amen. We bless God for you coming in. Well, tonight we're going to kind of take it easy tonight. This is another one of those nights where we're just going to have an open discussion. And last time we did this, we ended up talking about prayer. And yet it seems like prayer seems to be the order of the day simply because of the fact that we can look at the what's going on in the world, Russia attacking the Ukraine and oil prices going through crazy, crazy, crazy rifts and things of that nature. We could talk about so many things that are what we call worldly events, but we are going to centralize and focus. But before we do, I elevated her for the 25th time. Pastor Henderson, would you mind praying us in, please?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you, glorify you and magnify you. Thank you for how you bless us all day long, Father God. We thank you for this opportunity and this platform tonight to come before your people, Father God. We ask, oh God, that you would just have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Let something be said tonight that will encourage somebody, strengthen somebody. Oh God, just take someone higher in their walk and their thinking with you. Have your way, oh God, tonight, and we give you praise, glory, and honor. Bless each one that has participated, each one that's tuned in. And we say, have your way, as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen. And before I go any further, I seem to have forgotten, is there anyone else on the line that we may have forgotten? Because sometimes our dear sister Chanel chops in on us, and we don't know she's there. But let me double check. Is there anybody else that's on the line that we may have overlooked, that we may have not mentioned? If so, please make yourself known.
I made it tonight.
Oh, well, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. She made it, y'all. She made it. God bless you. All right. Well, bless the Lord. Well, listen, let's do this. Let's kind of look at, I know I seem like I'm stuttering today. God help me here. I want to look at two passages of Scripture, and I'm trying to pull them up right now as we speak. I want to look at Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2. And then I also want to look at Proverbs, the fourth chapter. And if my computer would please stop acting like you lost your mind, who do you think you are? Go away, please. Anyway, excuse me. If I can get maybe Apostle Whitlow, if I can get you to open up your Bible, if you get a chance, and get me Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, go 1 through 3, and then I'll look for Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. There's a little bit I want to talk about, but I want to put it in a special way. I know. Please forgive me. I'll be all right. Give me about 27 seconds.
All right, Bishop, I have Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Here is the word of God for the people of God in Jesus' name.
Amen. And my super slow computer still has not gotten me to Proverbs chapter 4. So just bear with me, beloved. I got it. I got it. I got it. I'm just going to be positive about this. I got it. I got it. I got it. And verse 25, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Classic Version. It says, let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose. And let your gaze be straight before you. Tonight, we want to take a moment to talk about this topic, stay focused. And I need to use this as an acronym, not necessarily the word F-O-C-U-S-E-D, but to break each letter down, the F, the O, the C, the U, the S, the E, and the D. We're recognizing first and foremost that we're in a position in this day and age where it's obvious that the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not too far away. We're to hearing what he talked about in Matthew 24, where he talked about wars and rumors of wars. He talks about pestilences. And when we talk about pestilences, we've been dealing with coronavirus, the Omicron, the Delta, and the actual virus itself. And this isn't the first we've heard of this. This has been coming on and on, off and on for decades, but in the last 2 or 3 years, it has reached deadly proportions, not to mention the fact that we are still dealing with the other diseases out here, the STDs that are out there, the lung diseases, heart diseases, kidney diseases. We can go on and on and on and on. And for us as believers, we first of all need to learn how to count it a privilege and an honor to be able to have that awesome responsibility in the midst of all that's going on to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Basically, because God has called us, the Lord Jesus himself has appointed us and anointed us to cover the world with a message of hope. It should ring louder now than it ever has in times past. And there are many of us who've looked in the book of Acts, chapter one, in verse 8, and we found where Jesus, just before he ascended back into heaven to take his rightful place seated on the right hand of God the Father, told us that we would be well equipped to be able to do the things that we need to do. For he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto all the othermost parts of the world. And Jesus also gave the body of Christ, the church at large, a specific command, which we know we've read about it multiple times in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And, you know, we can go through it. I mean, every last one of us on this line probably can recite it by heart. But the main thing I want to jump into, and I guess I should mention it, the fact that he makes the statement that all power, every absolute authority, absolute rule in both heaven and earth has been given to me. He now tells us it's time for us to go out and do something that we were called to do. After all, we were created to produce after his kind. That's even after we've given our heart to the Lord Jesus. Our job is to help people to learn about Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to obey the word that comes from God, to turn around and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you guys know the rest of it. And he's always told us that he was always going to be with us. Now, all of this is wonderful, but in order for us to even begin to reach the world, we have to make a decision to depart from the ways of the world. And in his letter to the church at Galatia, Paul in chapter 1, verse 4, said that Christ gave himself for our sins that we may be delivered out of this present evil age. Now, beloved, as I bring this dissertation in, let's get ready to talk about, first of all, what it means to be focused, because we won't reveal the acronyms right away, but we're going to talk about some things. We, you know, those of us who are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, have to remember that we are the ambassadors of a kingdom that is not from this present world. We are representatives of a kingdom that does not, I mean, it's in the world. It is not of this world. Not like 1 John 5:4, which reminds us that we've overcome the world through faith in Christ. And though we still physically exist and live in this earth realm, we have spiritually at the point of salvation been translated from whatever this physical thing is here. We're still physically here, but now we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And what this means is that our spiritual growth, our joy, our unspeakable love and conditioning, our commitment and everything that goes with it, our fruitfulness, all this requires that we obtain, that we maintain, that we sustain to the world. Last I'm going to say, and then I'm going to get into the discussion, Hebrews 11:13. I know I've thrown a lot of excess scripture at you tonight, but basically I want to make sure I build a decent enough foundation. I don't know how long we're going to be on this. We might be here 2 weeks, we might be here 3 weeks, we might be here to the end of next month. And I'm bringing all this up because all in the Lenten season, which literally started yesterday around the world, many of us have made commitments to give up certain things, to stop doing certain things, to be more dedicated, to be more committed, to make a better sacrifice. Here is my issue with all of this commitment. And why do we wait every year to the Lenten season to decide we're going to give stuff up when you know darn well as soon as Lenten season ends and you shout yourself silly on Resurrection Sunday, a week later you're pretty much going to pick up what you used to do only to go through it. It almost reminds me of the Old Testament when once a year the atonement was made and the sins were covered, but they were not cleansed. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just throw somebody under the bus? I hope I didn't. But Hebrews 11:13 calls us and reminds us that we're strangers and exiles on the earth because we do not have at this moment a lasting city, but we are seeking that which is to come. Therefore, our citizenship being in heaven means that though we are in the world, we are not of this world is not our home, we're just passing through. And until we realize, we will find ourselves in a difficult situation to be effective in reaching the lost as we may desire. So let me break this thing down so we can slow it down for just a minute. Focus. Can somebody just give me a base definition of the word focus? What does it mean to focus? And then help me to understand. Give me some examples of how I can focus. I'm opening that up. As a matter of fact, he hasn't been with us for a while. So, Apostle Smith, let me start with you. Just give you a chance to get your feet wet for you ain't been in radio for a couple of weeks. Did I put him to sleep?
No.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was asking you to give me a definition of the word focus.
Of the word focus?
Yes.
Direction.
Mm-hmm.
Focus.
Mm-hmm.
Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Focus. You're talking mm-hmm. about your subjection, your focus is that word I'm looking for.
Concentration.
Your position in God.
Uh-huh.
All right. That's what I want to give up for now.
All right. Let me mix this up a little bit. Dr. Kimmy Robinson? And it doesn't have to be the actual Webster or Oxford or any of those definitions, just what you think it means.
Focus to me
when I think of focus, I think of zooming and concentration on that item, giving it my undivided attention, focusing. You know, you are just pinpointing that particular item that you're thinking about, and yeah, to zoom into it and okay. concentrate mm-hmm. on it.
Okay. All right. And I'm going to come to you last, Apostle Whitlow, so hang in there. Miss Chanel.
Focus?
Just give me your idea. I'm not looking for a pinpointed definition, just your idea of what you think it might mean.
Oh, focus. Focus is meant when you when you put your mind, when you get your mindset
mm-hmm.
on something, and you
mm-hmm.
basically you're going after that. You have decided
mm-hmm.
that you're going to do this,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to stay with it. That's what it means to
okay.
be focused.
All right. All right. I didn't forget you, Pastor Henderson, and then after you, Apostle Whitlow. And I'm going around the table because, you know, sometimes I don't have the right words, but you guys will say one word that might make all the difference in the world.
When I think of focus, I think of being fixed on something, being single-minded, you know, one thought
mm-hmm.
on it, attentive. And committed to something. Committed. Cause if I'm focused, I'm committed. My eyes is like on that one thing or things, you know. So I'm committed to that, whatever it is that I am looking at or perceiving or connected to. Commitment,
mm-hmm.
Fixed on, attentive,
mm-hmm.
dedicated to.
Okay. Okay. Last but by no means least, how about you, Apostle Whitlow?
Wait, put me in, Coach. Put me in.
Oh, you're here. Ladies and gentlemen, Apostle Felicia Flight has made it. I thought she missed the flight, but she's here. Hang in there. Hang on there. You know, we'll put you at the table and we'll buzz you in on the next file. Apostle Whitlow.
Put me in, Coach. Put me in. I've got to use that. Put me in, Coach. Put me in.
I like that. I love that.
When I think of focus, I think of pinpointing the perception
mm-hmm.
or the perspective or the view. Pinpointing.
Mm-hmm.
Pinpointing.
Mm-hmm.
That's my word for focus, pinpointing.
Pinpointing. I like that. All right. All right. Come on, Flight, you're in. Substitution. Felicia Flight, you're in.
Oh.
Come on, Flight.
Okay, so I'm in. Okay, so focus. Fixated on a particular item, person, thing, situation.
Uh-huh.
You just stuck right there.
Hey, man,
Hello?
Hello?
Where did folks go?
Lord, they done disconnected the call.
Lord Jesus. Oh.
Well, Coach, take me out.
Lord, have mercy. What happened?
I can't take you out. My phone, I think I'm having a date with Cece again. I don't know what this is all about. I don't know how do you pay thousands of dollars for a telephone and it dies when it feels like it? All right, that phone didn't die that I might live. The phone just died, and that was it. But anyway, I heard you say fixated, and that was as far as it went before Cece here decided to show her behind. So what else did you have to add to that?
Okay, fixated is focused on a particular item or stuck on a particular item. Just stuck right there.
I like that.
Stuck.
All right. Well, I bless God for you taking that opportunity to share with us. And thank you all, because, I mean, I went around the table specifically, but I'm having trouble with words today. What's going on with me? But basically, you know, and I'm just going to throw some things out there. And if you agree with it, and don't wait for me to put you in. Just jump in, because it's a free-for-all from this point on. You know, when we look at the word and we consider what this six-letter word means, we can see that there is no room for distraction. There is no room for disturbance. You can't find any room for a disruption. There is no room for compromise. And many of us are still holding on. And when I say focus, see, a lot of times, a lot of us don't see success. And I'm not talking to those of you who are on the line. Every last one of us knows that we got where we are because of our determination to be focused on where God wanted to take us. We didn't get to be apostles. We didn't get to be prophets. We didn't get to be pastors. We didn't get to be teachers. We didn't get our doctorate degrees and anything else that God has done for you just by sitting idly by and not paying attention to what we're doing. But there are many who are listening to us even at this moment who are still holding on to past failures. They're still holding on to past experience that's cost them more than they were actually willing to give up. And some people who are listening to us today won't let go of their past so that they can be used by God. Someone let go of what they won't let go of what used to be, and they can't quite figure out why they're unable to embrace what's coming. What am I trying to say? Because of your lack of focus, ma'am, because of your lack of focus, sir, your past has imprisoned your future while you are in the present. I'll say that one more time. Your past has imprisoned your future in your present. You can't move. It seems like you're so locked in what you're trying to live the glory days. Let it go. Those days have come and those days are gone. Let me help you out. Staying focused means you have to stop looking back at yesterday. I often say this, so I'm going to say it tonight, and I'm going to allow anybody who wants to say anything they want after I say this. How do you stop looking in the rearview mirror of your life? Somebody answer that for me, please.
Well, here's the thing. You stop looking in the rearview mirror of your life when you stop being concerned with what is following you. Maybe you're supposed to be a leader and not someone who is concerned about following others. Maybe that's the thing.
I want to play devil's advocate on that, Apostle. I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to throw it out there. You know, but I've always had confidence in Joe Blow. I've always watched Joe Blow do certain things a certain way, and the responses that Joe Blow gets when he gets on Facebook, I don't know how, but he gets 3,000 followers just by coming on and spending 20 minutes. And I see him in church services where hundreds of thousands of people, but, you know, I'm not like Joe Blow, so I don't know. What do I do? Talk to me. I'm a little lost here. What do I do, bro? How do I get famous like Joe Blow?
Keep acting like it. Keep acting like it. You know, sometimes you gotta. I heard it said this way. I heard it. You gotta face it. I didn't say fake it. You have to face it till you make it. I mean, the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
So there are things you can speak until it manifests. It's about confession. I discovered a long time ago, it's your fession, your confession. It's your confession
that
brings possession, okay? So if you can confess it, eventually you will possess it. That's all.
Amen.
So I confess constantly that I'm a millionaire. I don't have it right now, but I'm confessing it. I'm confessing that, you know, I have a nice house, that people have to drive up to see me. I'm confessing that I'm going to have a bad chick. Yes, I said it. I'm confessing that we're going to walk up and down the street and people are going to be like, I won't be just like that. I'm confessing I ain't going to have no debt because I'm going to do this cash and carry. I'm confessing I'm going to have that doctorate like the great apostle Vincent L. Smith. I'm confessing it.
Amen. 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 When I grow up, I want to be just like him, you know, have a doctorate and all that. I know. Anybody else want to throw that in there? Anybody else want to throw their 20 cents in the ring?
I want to put my 5 cents in there, Coach. Get in there.
Go for
it. First of all, stop worrying about what's going on behind you and focus on what's going on in front of you. You don't know how Joe Blow and them got what they got. You don't know if they had to rob Peter to pay Paul. You don't know. I will tell anybody, favor. Only bad. God gives you that. Man cannot give you that.
Amen.
God can only
Amen.
Give you that. So once you stop being fixated on how Susie Q got what she got, if you stay on your knees as long as Susie Q, then you'll get it. Don't worry about my man. My man ain't worrying about you.
All right, now.
And that's
anybody else?
Lamb.
Come on, sis. Mary had a little lamb, didn't she? Anyway.
She did.
All right, now. He didn't get cooked. He just got killed. Come on, y'all. Apostle.
Well, I look at it a little different, really. When you is not focused, but when you look at your past, if your past is has become your rate of testimony or the joy of overcoming, then you can know what's getting ready to come forth in the future. If you know how to celebrate what the past has already done.
Amen. I like.
Hello?
CeCe again. Yeah. He, you know, he's dealing with CeCe. He needs to tell CeCe to get it together. CeCe, get it together. I don't think CeCe heard me.
Me and this phone, you know what? I got one more word for you, phone. Underwater. Don't try it again, okay? You better try Jesus. Don't try me. I know who you think you is. You know who I am. I'm Rosalie's little boy. Focus, phone. Focus. Anyway, let's move on. I'm sorry. Apostle, can you throw that in there one more time? Because CeCe decided that she wanted to kick me to the curb at the wrong time.
Well, I was just saying it decides on how you decide to look at it. If you're looking at the past just as a avenue of complaint and talking about what you went through, but you're not looking at it with the hope of God brought me over, brought me out. He did this, he did that. Now I'm ready for what I can see coming in my future. Then there's a problem.
All right now.
The mirror of the past ought to be a testimony that greater things are coming.
All right. I bless God for anybody else. All right, Apostle Henderson, I'm just throwing you up there anyway, so I might as well just keep you there. No, come on, Pastor Henderson.
I was just thinking, you know, just being intentional about where you're going, because you said not looking back but going forward. So when you're intentional and committed to going forward, you have a maturity of staying with your focus ahead of you, not focusing on what happened in the back, but staying focused on what's happening in front. You know, think about when you're driving, if you keep looking back and keep looking back in your rear mirror, then, you know, you can crash because you're not focused on what's going on in front of you. So but being intentional that if I'm driving and I'm trying to keep my destination, I'm trying to make sure I don't miss my turns, I don't miss my signs, that I'm intentional about where I'm going. I'm intentional about what I'm looking at because my mind is set on my destination. So when you have a destination in mind, your focus is on that destination.
Wow. You know what? I love what each and every one of you has said. I bless God for you taking the time to share with us, you know. And, yes, I agree with all that has been said, that all that we have discussed at this point. I mean, and we're just trying to encourage somebody's heart today to get up and move forward. Here we are in the third month of the year 2022. It is not over, first of all, till God says it's over. You have not lost the war. You might lose a couple of battles. You may not dot every I, you may not cross every T, but you got to remember, you still have opportunity. I put something on Facebook, I think a day or two ago, and I said specifically in my statement, there are two things that you get every day in life, and there are really three things. But I'm going to only focus on two. We know you get life because if you wake up the next morning, you still have opportunity and chance. You can take either word you want, and you still have a decision or a choice that you have to make. The question is, do you want to succeed? Do you want to see yourself grow? Do you want to see yourself in a new place? Do you want to see where God wants to take you? Where, you know, and I ask this, you know, where's our mindsets? Because I'm running into young people who are giving up at a young age, just getting started in life, and they're quitting, trying to commit suicide, trying to find a way to get around the difficulties that they're dealing with. It's just too hard. I can't do this. You know, they go on with all this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, if you were back in the slave days, of course, they're not in the slave days. They're in this day and in this age. I don't think they would have made it. You know, I don't think they would have made it. I think they would have perished with whatever is going on. Now, I know there's another passage of Scripture, and they find it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And basically, let's talk about this, and we're going to get to the first letter of F. If we're going to focus, the first letter we get to is the letter F. We have to forget what used to be. We have to forget our past mistakes. We have to forget our past failures. We have to forget those wrong turns that we've made in life. And Paul said it best in Philippians 3:13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind." What does that mean to any one of my panelists on this given day, to forget those things that are behind? We talked about the rearview mirror syndrome, but in looking at that scripture, what is Paul trying to tell me? Somebody help me out here.
When he says forgetting those things that are behind, he's really saying, mm-hmm, I'm erasing the marker that I have already set. I'm erasing, uh-huh, that which I have already accomplished. I'm erasing that which I've come in contact with. I'm doing, okay, a lot of erasing. That's what he's really saying. He's saying I'm removing the memoirs. I'm removing those little markers that I've made. You know, when you travel, I know you should know this, being that you're a truck driver. There are some places that you travel is called the back road. And in your traveling, yes, you happen to come across what they call historical markers. And it said historical marker a mile on your left. And you get to this, you get to a place where you see a little report of what happened at that marker. And he says, what I'm doing is I'm deleting every historical marker. That which what I thought was significant, I'm deleting it. That which I think was great, I'm deleting it. That which I think I have won or earned or become notified for or noticed about, uh-huh, I'm going to delete it. Why? because that is no longer my interest. That is no longer my focus. I want what is ahead of me, and I cannot get to what is ahead of me if I don't release what is behind me. You'll never receive until you can release. Let me say it again, because that's even prophetic for now. You will never receive until you can release. So as long as your fists are closed, you're not going to receive anything. As long as you got something in your hand, you cannot receive anything. So he says, what I'm doing is I'm releasing. I'm letting it go. I'm forgetting about it. I don't want no more to do with it because it's not as valuable as what I'm about to come into.
Amen. Amen. Bless God. Anybody want to throw something else in there? You know, we got the cake working here. We got almost all the ingredients. I need somebody to throw in some sugar, some cinnamon, some vanilla. What y'all got? Come on, talk to me. I'm listening. I'm putting you in. I'm putting you in. All of you. Hello?
I totally agree with Apostle Whitlow and what was said.
Okay.
And intentionally making that decision that what was is no longer, as he said, the focus point, but now I have chosen another focus point. You know, I've chosen another focus point. And Paul has chosen his focus point to be his prize, winning the prize in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he changed perspective. No longer was his past his focus or, you know, his prize, you know, because, you know, where he came from and what he did and who he was and all of his background, that no longer was his background of perspective of who he was. For now, his focus was his life in Christ Jesus. And sometimes in order to go forward, as he has said, you have to be willing to let go of what was, because what ahead of you most oftentimes is more greater than where you was before, especially when you're in the Lord. God is taking us higher from glory to glory. So what you thought was great is not as great as where God wants to take you if you're willing to let it go. And so often people are not willing to let go of what was, because that's all they know. But when God gets ready to move you and get ready to shift you, there has to be a letting go, because you never get to the greater if you never let go. The children of Israel would have never made it to the promised land, those that made it, if they hadn't let go of where they were. So they had to leave Egypt to come out. But as they were faced with their challenges, you know, they didn't have the faith, a lot of them, to go into the promised land. So we only see Caleb and Joshua going over. But in this journey of life, you have to be willing to let go of your past in order to receive what God has for you in your future.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? And I don't want to lose anybody, because, I mean, what you've just shared, Apostle Whitlow and Pastor Henderson, good stuff, great stuff. Dr. Kimmy, Sister Cheryl, our power forward, Apostle for Light, you guys, come on. I need some baskets. We're down by five, and we need to get ahead of these guys, because, you know, if we can't hit the rim, man, we in trouble. We're going to lose this game. I ain't ready to go home yet. Talk to me, y'all.
Well, sometimes your past, it helps you process and move forward. I was going to make a joke, but I don't think the people.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, I'm like this. If they don't get it, we'll explain it to them later.
As much as I love my baby daddy, you know, that's the thing in my past. You know, I gotta throw that in there. But no, all jokes aside.
Come on.
My baby. All jokes aside, seriously, we learn from prior mistakes not to do them in the future. Sometimes people get so stuck on the things that they have done wrong that they can't see and they can't move forward. So as long as you're fixated on what's behind you, what's in front of you doesn't matter anymore.
Amen.
Because you still
Amen.
Sort of turn back, you know, like why you turn back? And you can turn to a You missing so much what's ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
You missing so much. Just imagine.
Amen.
Just imagine if you had never, you know, sometimes we say, oh, I'm never going to get on the airplane. Well, child, and your family planned a trip and you got to get on the airplane. You still saying, I'm not going to get on the airplane. You don't know what you're missing.
Amen.
So you can't say, you can't say that, well, I'm afraid to move on. Why are you afraid to move on? If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be afraid to move nowhere.
Amen.
Since God has not given us the spirit of fear, you know, but
say that.
Power, love, and understanding. So if you look at, if you're so stuck back there, baby, look here. I don't move forward. Don't get mad at me. Get
Amen.
Mad at your ego.
All right.
You know what I'm
now, I know exactly what you're talking about. Been down that road, had to make some decisions myself. And you brought up airplanes. Let me say this, and we're talking about forgetting, the first word in the acronym FOCUS, forgetting. But there are other words that can be added to it. But we're going to work with forgetting first, because in order for you to focus, you have to forget what once was, what once used to be. And funny you brought up airline flight. I remember back in 1979, my brother had gone into the Army, and he was in, what's that down there, Apostle Whitlow? It's not too far from you. Matter of fact, it is Augusta. That's where we went, Fort Gordon or something like that. But anyway, he had to go, and for the first time, I was getting on a plane. I had never flown in a plane before, and I was nervous as I don't know what, didn't know what to expect, was kind of hoping, and this was during a time when Pan Am, who was the airline during that time, was crashing like left and right, you know? Planes, I mean, crash landings, left and I'm thinking to myself, do I really want to get on this plane, you know? And I wasn't saved at the time. I wasn't thinking about being saved. I might as well be real about that. And I tried to go on to see my brother. Well, anyway, I got on the plane. Little did I know, and back then during that time, I'm going to say it. Yeah, I wish I could tell you I was saved all my life, but there was a time when I wasn't saved. The flight attendant came by and asked if we want something to drink, and she mentioned they had these little tiny bottles of alcohol, and so I had her give me like three of them little bottles of vodka, and I got some orange juice, and I went to sleep after I drank it. Next thing you know, we was landing in Fort Gordon or in Augusta, Georgia, in their airport, and I was there. I kind of missed the flight. Don't know how. Didn't feel the takeoff. Didn't feel the landing, but they came and woke me up. I said, well, I'm here. Went off. Found my brother, got over there to the Army base, and the whole 20 years. My point to that is I had to, because of what I had seen in the news, I had to lose past perceptions that looked like facts. I had to get rid of, in my mind, misconstrued knowledge. And it wasn't just that incident. There are so many incidents that I could talk about. But I had to lose misconstrued knowledge and negative thought processes that could have possibly have held me in bondage. There are people listening to us right now who are going through that right now. You're sitting here holding on to a perception that somebody has of you or about you. Let it go. Forget it. You got to let go. To them, it's facts, but in your mind, it ought to be fiction. I'm sorry, and I'm going to use this as an example. Apostle Smith, if they're calling you the Pentecostal pimp, and you know you ain't doing nothing like that, are you going to waste your time trying to fight such a thing? I know it's about honor and integrity, about a name, but sometimes in the midst of trying to defend your name, you can make things worse, because I often say you're fighting a losing battle because you need these people to sit here and broadcast for you. You know you're not doing it. So let them find out. You know, show me who I'm doing it with. Bring them to the forefront. Let's talk about it. Am I making sense?
Yeah, but
Dr. Kimmy, go ahead.
I'm trying to find out what. Who is they gonna call you a pimp? Show me the product.
That's it. That's exactly it. Show me. How is it that you come across that I am this quote unquote Pentecostal pimp? What am I doing that gives you that inclination? I mean, you know, and I keep asking, but you know, I've always been like this for as long as I can remember. If you have no proof, stop eating the pudding. That's banana pudding. That's chocolate pudding. That's vanilla pudding. That is not vanilla, and I don't know. Somebody throw something else in there to make it not make it look funny, taste funny. I don't know. Anyway, the bottom line is your perception, your past perception of me that you call fact is not. Your misconstrued knowledge that you got from somebody else, you got it second and or third hand. And that negative thought process that has come from other people about you, I'm not going to let it hold me in bondage. I'm going to forget those things that once were, even if they were had a little bit of truth to them. I'm ready to let go of it. I'm going to say to myself today, I'm going to fail to recall those past experiences that have kept me from experiencing the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you guys on this line, but since I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I no longer have to think about what I used to be. All of my past is in the eyesight of the past. God is not thinking about it. And I know, I think we talked about this, I think last week, if I'm not mistaken, Apostle Smith. I'm going to bring it up again. We often say that God has forgiven us and has thrown our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. And though that particular passage doesn't say exactly that, there is one and several throughout Scripture that says God will forgive our sins and remember them no more. Forget what used to be. You're a new creature in Christ. You are a species that never before existed. Keep this in mind. Those old things have passed away. Those and all things actually have become new. And while we're forgetting our past hurts, while we're forgetting our past heartaches, while we're forgetting our past failures, while we're forgetting our past mistakes and our past pains, it's got to become imperative that we start pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Am I making sense, Dr. Kimmy Robinson? Take yourself off mute. She's still talking. All right. While we're waiting for her to come back and join us, does that make sense to anybody? Well, I got a library tonight. I don't want no library.
Amen. It makes a lot of good sense. Yes. You know, I'm thinking about the F words you were saying. You know, letting go of the fears, the failures, and the facts. You know, even if it is true, you're letting it go, letting go of the fears. And I think those are great things that the enemy uses, you know, to keep a person, you know, from going forward. Is the past failures, the past fears, you know, and then, you know, sometimes facts of things that really was true, because Apostle Paul did, you know, arrest a lot of the Christians and had a lot of them martyred. But he had to let go of all of that. You know, he had to let go of all the things he did before he came to Christ, all the things that he once knew and who he was. He had to let go of all of that. And as you said in the word, you know, that old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And we have to take hold to the new creation that God has created us to be. And even in the natural, before you can even go forward, you have to be willing to forget those things that hurt you, forget those things that cause, you know, the pain, and press past that, knowing that God has more when you're a believer and you trust him and you have faith in him, that God knows how to take all of those things and how to mix them together. The scripture says that all things work together for the good. He knows how to mix it all together and cause your life to go forward. And those things that once used to hold you back now become stepping stones for you to be something great in God, so you can tell somebody else how you made it over, how you were able to conquer the fears, how you were able to conquer the failures, how you were able to, you know, get through, you know, the things that have happened in your life and be able to have a testimony that will bring God glory. But you have to be intentional that I'm not staying back there. I'm going forward. I'm going to allow all those things that were in my past, I'm going to allow them to be stepping stones to allow God to give me a platform to be a witness for him. And when you become intentional about that, then those things in the background no longer becomes your focus point. Now you're focused on becoming that greater person that God had intended you to be in him. Are you still there?
I'm not certain. I think it's that phone again. I think it's that phone again. But, you know, this is a good topic tonight. I think that there's so much more in there to dig into. But at the end of the day, if there is no focus, there can be no achieving of what you're hoping for, looking for, wanting, or desiring. There has to be focus in order for it to happen. Point blank, period. I think Apostle Smith talked earlier on, he said something to the effect of, you know, where your attention is. That's what focus has to be, where your attention, your agenda. And I think a lot of people have lost that in this season. And I think it's time for people to come back to it in order to encounter what God would have them to encounter. I'm not certain what happened with Bishop-elect.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Can you hear me now? All right.
We can now.
Don't worry. As soon as we get off, I got a hammer sitting here. Cece's about to feel some pain. Anyway. Let me stop. I'm not ready to replace phones yet. It's too much information in this phone for me to have to throw it to kick it to the curb. But I thank you for taking over. And you're right, Apostle Whitlow. We have to be intent in our purpose. I was about to say Hebrews 12:3, I believe it is. I may be wrong, but I got to get this exact scripture. Jesus talks about being the author and the finisher of our faith. Recognize it's a matter of life and death that we actually look to the hills from which comes our help. We have to stay focused. That means we can no longer let our situation dictate our future. Some of you have great potential, panelists on this line and those listening by way of Blog Talk Radio and by way of Spotify or wherever you're listening at. You have great potential, and your situation is being dictated by circumstances, and you have to understand that as long as you allow those circumstances to cause you to be profusely rocked and swayed, regardless of how the storms of life may be causing your ship to be tossed and turned and driven by the and battered by the angry seas of life, you have to understand how to navigate those types of things. You have to understand that that vicious attack on your walk of faith is there specifically to help shape, make, and mold you. But you have to maintain your focus. Get rid of what used to be. Stop thinking about your past. Stop focusing on where you once were. I mean, I could sit here and think of so many great places I was when I was younger, but I thank God that I am where I am now, because I also think about the great pain that came with being in those places. People didn't care, but, you know, and I say this, maybe somebody else on this line has shared this testimony, be celebrated. I refuse to be tolerated. Anybody else feel like that?
All day, anybody? Every day. I refuse to be tolerated. I am not meant to be tolerated. I am meant to be celebrated with all that God has placed in me and with all that I seek to share. Yeah, I seek to be celebrate me. Mm-hmm. That's why when my birthday comes around, it lasts from the 1st of the 7th month to the 21st or to the 31st of the 12th month. I want to be celebrated. You heard?
There you go. See, and it's funny you say that. When mine shows up on the 19th of the month of July, December 31st, that celebration ends and we prepare for the next one. So I need 6 months to celebrate and then 6 months to get ready for the new celebration. So we're getting ready for the new celebration. Anybody else ever felt like that? That you prefer to be celebrated as opposed to tolerated? And see, what happens when people just tolerate you, they put up with you, they see you coming, they got that look of disgust, they have this look of disdain, they answer you in a sour way. And you got to figure out, well, what did I do to you? I ain't sleep with you last night. You know, I ain't seen you in two. What's up with this? You know? Anybody? Is it just me?
Well, when you have those people that you're hanging around with, then you must go back to the old statement of Bishop Eben R. Jordan. It's not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. And if you choose to hang around that is going to hold you back, you will be back for a long time. But if you make up in your mind, I'm going all the way with what God said, no matter what obstacle comes in my way, in my path, in my life, I'm going all the way with God. And this is your best. And so when you make up your mind, it don't make no difference what come around. You done made up, you can try me, but I ain't changing.
Yeah, see, I had to develop something I heard from another well-noted apostle, you know, and that individual would always say, don't come for me because I ain't sent for you. I'm using that one. Yeah, I'm using it. I gave her credit the last time I used it, but I'm keeping this one now. So now I'm just going to claim the rights to this one, and I ain't paying no royalties on it. All right, let's move forward. Anyway, yeah, we're right there. Well, listen, we're going to kind of bring this in just a little bit because, I mean, basically we talked about the F, and I'm going to give you all six of them, all six letters, and we'll get into the next ones, the next one on next week. F actually stands for forgetting. O is for obedience. C is for commitment. U is for unity. I can't spell today. S is for servanthood, and that S is for servanthood, and that's going to be a big one when we do finally get to it. E is for effective. It's for determination. So you know what all six of them are right now. We covered the letter F. We talked about forgetting. We talked about staying focused, meaning forgetting your past, forgetting past failures and all that kind of stuff. And I bless God for each and every one of you. So if I'm not here, any one of you can pick up and move on. As a matter of fact, you know what? I know that I'm going to be out of the country next week. I may or may not be able to join you. So which one of you can I expect to take over for me? I'm going to ask that question up front. That way we'll know who's coming up. So we're going to do the promo on you.
Pastor Henderson?
Pastor
I was
going to
say Apostle Whitlow. Apostle.
Hey, I got an idea. I'm gonna appoint somebody who seems to escape us all the time. How about Pastor Henderson, Apostle Whitlow, and Dr. Kimmy Robinson? No?
That sounds like a plan.
Well, I'm gonna say it like this, and I'm going there now because look at it this way. Apostle Whitlow, by God's grace, most of the time is there unless he's in revival, and he's always been he's been a co-host with me for going on seven years. So I'll leave the appointment to you, Apostle. How's that sound? Is
Pastor
that good?
Henderson.
Okay. Oh wow. All right, so next week we'll pick up, if you just want to look it up, I just gave you the acronyms, F being for forgetting, O being for obedience, C being for commitment, U being for unity, S being for servanthood, E being for effective, and D for being for determination. So you start with the letter O, work with obedience, talk about it. And just carry through it. If I'm able to be with you, I'm not going to take the show from you. I'm just going to be with you as a panelist, as a special guest. Is that okay? All right. Well, listen, to those of you listening by way of radio, we bless God for each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. This is the Pastor's Corner. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., with my panelists, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Apostle Felicia Flight, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, Pastor Anna Henderson, and our dear sister, Cheryl Robinson. We thank you for taking the time to be with us. And as always, we want to take this time and this opportunity to open the door. I'm talking about opening the doors of the church. Lord have mercy, but that's quite all right. Y'all could tell I've been in church too long. Anyway, but we want to take this time to ask you a question. If you left the face of this earth physically today, where would your spirit end up? Now, as you can, you can't see me because this is radio, but as you can look, whether it's a television, at another person, your spirit man, that's the real you. That's the person that lives inside of that house of flesh. When this flesh clumps and goes back to the dust from whence it came, where is your spirit going? Where is eternity going to be for your spirit? I've got some good news for you. And I like to call them the ABCs of salvation. If you can sincerely acknowledge the fact that if you died today, you'd be lost and separated from God, lost and not have the love of Jesus Christ, if you can just acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner, you automatically become a candidate for salvation. I want to point out also that if you can believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for your sins, yes, your sins, for your dirt, for all the things that you do, if you can believe, you, ma'am, you, sir, are a candidate for salvation. All you have left to do is to confess with your mouth because of your belief in your heart that Jesus Christ is now the Lord of your life. And it's just that simple. There's nothing that bishop's going to say to you, apostles are going to say to you, Dr. Robinson's going to say to you, Sister Cheryl's going to say to you, Pastor Henderson. There's nothing we can say. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall. Shall is mandatory. It has to happen. It cannot be denied. You shall be saved. And the key to this is with your heart you believed unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession was made unto salvation. Won't you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Time is winding up. We know about the war in the Ukraine. We've heard about Afghanistan. We've heard about the Middle East. We've heard about tidal waves. We've heard about tsunamis. We've heard about hurricanes. We've heard about floods. We've heard about fires. And Jesus talks about every bit of this in the 24th chapter of the book of the Gospel of Matthew. And then Paul picks it up in the third chapter of 1 Timothy when he talks about perilous times. Beloved, we are in a time and in a season where the devil is no longer playing. He knows his time is short, and he's trying to snatch as many souls as he can to take to hell with him. His whole philosophy is, if I got to go, you going too. But God said not so. God has produced a remedy. Like anything in life that you know, for instance, if you go out there in the city streets and you see a red traffic light and you run through it, two things are going to happen. You're either going to have an accident or you're going to get a ticket from a police officer. Now, there are rules, and God has set some rules. And I just shared God's rules with you. All you have to do is receive and accept his son. Won't you become a member of the body of Christ? Won't you become a son or a daughter of the living God? Won't you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a very simple thing. We can lead you in a very simple prayer, and we can look to the hills from which cometh our help, recognizing that our God in heaven is ready and willing to just excitedly receive you. Simple thing. Just say, dear God in heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I believe you sent your son to die for my sins. Because Jesus died for my sins, I now confess him as Lord of my life. I invite you to come in and to be Lord of my life. I'm asking you to lead, guide, guard, and govern me according to your word. Teach me how to live for you. Teach me how to be all that you have called me to be. God, I'm waiting, and I'm desiring, and I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, be Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Today, I make a commitment to live as unto you and to live for you. I thank you by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we want to welcome you to the family of Almighty God. There are some things we'd love to share with you. If you can contact us on either Elation Magazine or on the Pastor's Corner, we'd be so willing to share with you certain information that's going to be pertinent to your spiritual growth. Our heart's desire is to see you flourish in the things that pertain to life and godliness. Anything less would be uncivilized, as I'm starting to say these days. We bless you for being with us today. Once again, I want to thank each and every one of you. Are there any final comments, anything else that any of my panel guests would like to say before we call it a day?
I got one thing to say.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
When I'm not going to tolerate you calling me Cheryl. My name is Chanel.
I didn't call Cheryl.
No, you said Cheryl. You said it
all
three.
Right, dear, do me a favor. We're going to discuss that off of the air, okay? All right. I do apologize if I made the mistake. I understand what you're saying. And if I made the mistake, charge it to my head and not to my heart. All right? Still a radio podcast, so we want to keep that kind of stuff down. We went through this a few weeks ago, and I said we ain't going to do this no more. Anyway, I do apologize. Let's move forward. Anybody else? Nobody else? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the ball is now in your court.
He